Mishnah Yomi, we are learning on Maseches Peah. We are towards the end of the sixth perek. We're up to the ninth Mishnah, Mishnah Tes. So we saw yesterday that there are two types of shikha. There's one in which the sheaves are still attached to the ground. The grains of wheat have not yet been cut, and you forgot about it. You passed over that area. Or you have you already cut the wheat, and now it's lying on the ground, it's tied in the sheaves, and as you're coming back to collect the various sheaves, you skipped over one or two of them. So, and then we also saw that if it's in a significant area, it's a sayim, it's two saw worth of wheat, so that although it's maybe it's only one bundle, but since it's such a large quantity, that's not called shikha. So now the Mishnah asks the following question, or deals with the following issue. Sa tvua kura v'sa she'ina kura. You have sasayim, you have a double saw, a volume of something that you forgot, but each saw is a different form of shikha. One is a form of shikha that was already tied in sheaves, and the other one is that it's still standing, it's still attached to the ground. So together, it's two saw, but each one's a different form. The chain be'ilon, similarly with a tree, you could have we discussed earlier in the Masechta about the various requirements of leaving for the aniyim for fruits on the tree. So let's say you have some fruit on the tree you forgot to pluck, and some fruit that's on the ground that you've already begun to gather. Then when you went back, you forgot the one that's on the ground. So again, together it has this large volume. Vashum vabitsalim, or a similar situation with vegetation, with garlic and onions. So in all these cases, einon mitstarf in the sasayim. Elashal aniyim heim. The Mishnah rules that this is not, this remains with the poor. We don't join these two forms of shikha together to say that it has this one large amount and it gets reserved for the balabais, for the owner, but rather each one is considered to be distinct. Each one is has a smaller amount. You forgot about it, and therefore it goes to the poor. B'yosi omer imbas rishus ani be'emsa einan mitstarfin vimlav harayelo mitstarfin. Rabbi Yossi suggests, well, maybe it will depend whether or not in between these two things that you forgot in, is there something in the middle that definitely does belong to the ani? Is there the Bartanura suggests, is there a leket, that's something that you dropped in the middle? And that definitely goes to the ani. So he says that if there is something for the aniyim in the middle, so then einan mitstarfin, then they don't join, because then that's a clearer distinction, that's a clearer separation. But if there's not, and if there's nothing in the middle that belongs to the ani for sure, then the two items do join together, and if they're the significant amount, they're a large enough amount, so they would remain in the rishus of the balabayas. Okay, next Mishnah Yud Tavua Shenasna L'Shachas Olaluma. If you have a grain that's that's reserved for machal behema. This is not you're not retaining it for yourself to eat, but rather you're giving it as fodder for food for the animals, or la luma, or you're using it for another purpose, a non-edible purpose, using it just to tie together the sheaves. V'chein ba'agudi hashum, va'agudos hashum, va'besalim, and similarly different types of ties for tying the garlic and the onions. So einlan shikha. These types of things, if you forgot, these things are not called shikha because they're not being set aside and reserved for machal adam, for people to consume. It's simply for these other purposes. And the Mishnah is teaching us that the laws of shikha are only if it's food. If it's food, if you forgot the aniyim, receive it. But if it's not for food, then you, the Baal Bayis, have the right to pick it up and to take it for yourself. And then the Mishnah says, V'cho'at munim ba'aretz. Let's say of something that's in the ground, that can't be seen from above the ground. Kigon halof hashum v'abibsalim. different types of onions and garlic that are growing in the ground. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ein lahem shicha. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, even though this is going to be eaten, there's no din of shicha for these items that are under the ground. Why not? So the Bar Tanura says, the pasuk says, "Tchsiv sadcha ma sada begali af kol begali prat l'tamun." That the pasuk specifically says regarding shicha, what's in your field. Well, this is not real. It's in your field, but it's not, because it can't be seen. According to the way the psukim is understood by Rabbi Yehuda, it has to be gully, it has to be revealed, it has to be something that the eye can see. But if it's tamon, if it's hidden, that's not considered to be shecha. And the Chum disagree. Chum, oh, no, yeshlam shecha. It is considered to be shecha. Why? So says the Bar Tanura, d'ksiv sadcha, because it says your field, which he agrees, the mashma gully, which he agrees implies that it's you can see it, but also says the ksiv sircha, what you'll reap, the mashma namigo, which also implies what you can see. So this is a classic case. He says havi miyad achamiyat, one exclusion after another exclusion, ein miyad achamiyat el larabos. When you have one exclusion after another exclusion, it actually comes to include umad misatam, and therefore it comes to include that which is hidden. And the last mishnah of the perek. Hakotzer Balila. Let's say you're doing the reaping at night, so it's hard to see everything, and maybe you'll easily forget something because you can't see what's in the field. The Hamamir, and if you're cutting at night, you're binding the sheaves together at night. Vasumor, let's say the farmer is blind, can't see. So Yesh Lahem Shecha. So the rule is, says the Mishnah, although it's hard for them to see at night, nonetheless, the laws of shicha still apply, says the Yachin and Boaz. The afgav the mistarmer chashecha garmelo shloro hadakin v'shachan. Even though it's probably you could argue it's the night that's causing them to forget it. They're not intentionally forgetting it or mistakenly forgetting it. They just couldn't see. Nonetheless, it's their responsibility if they're going to be searching at night or a person is blind to take the precautions to have someone check after them. And to pick up anything, to cut everything, and if they forget it, so then it has a din of shecha. V'mhaya miskaving litol es hagas, hagas ein lo shecha. However, the exception to this rule is that if they actually have intention to that they only they know it's night, therefore they're only going to be picking up the larger items, and they with intent are going to be leaving the smaller ones. So that's not called shecha. Because here they had intent in the moment to only take certain ones, but then the Mishnah concludes, don't take this too far. Im Amar Hare Ani Kotzi Amanas Mash Ani Shocheach Ani Etol Yesh Lo Shecha. But you can't do the following. You can't say that as you're working the field, let's say during the day, that you're saying I'm cutting, I'm reaping on the condition that what I forget I'm going to take later. That's not shecha, because says the Bar Tanura, that's masla masha kasa b'torah. That goes against that's the whole. That's what shecha is. You can't take a vow going against the Torah, right? The Torah says there is shecha. The classic case shecha, you're working in the field during the day. You forgot to cut something. You forgot to gather something. So that is shecha. You can't say, oh, I'm only doing this on the condition that if I forget it, I'm going to take it for myself. That's absurd. That's it goes against the entire notion, the whole institution of shecha. And we ignore such a condition, and certainly if you forget those items, the aniyim have every right to have access to them.